this year we're going to see OKC and Minnesota in the Western Conference Finals.
Then you get to see two shooting guards go at it to see who's going to be the face of the league.
Welcome back to the OGs. We have ourselves a special, special episode for multiple reasons. We took this thing on the road with a live audience for the first time, just to see you, Dwight. You know what I mean? Like, they all came here for you.
Pressure. Wow.
But before we get this thing started, I think it's perfect time because we're now the OGs are almost 20 episodes in, maybe more, and we're just getting started. And a lot of it goes out to the why we're here, Morgan and Morgan, Prize Picks, obviously Playmaker, and then all the fans that are liking and subscribing, and you guys, the fans that are here listening and tuning in every day, like, we appreciate the love and what you guys are doing, but we got ourselves an awesome episode today, the legendary. You can't quite say legendary yet because you haven't decided if you're going to retire yet.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
Yes, let's talk about it.
But three-time Defensive Player of the Year, world champion, multi-time All-Star, should be a top 75. We have another different situation here because I don't have my road dog UD with me, but we brought his muscle because of the beef that these guys have.
Yeah, we do got a beef. I don't know what it is. We always fighting.
So I remember that game. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I brought UD's muscle with him today.
Oh.
But no, deadass, UD's in Boston working. I act like he's working, but UD has a special message for you, and so we're going to play it for you real quick.
Oh, Lord. Me and UD always about to fight like two old uncles.
That's right. That's why it's the OGs.
Yo, listen, yo, let me tell you. Want to tap in with y'all, man. It's the OG here. Sorry I couldn't be on set today out here in Boston, obviously in the playoff series against the Celtics. But I just want to tap in with y'all and let y'all know. First and foremost, shout out to my dog, Gogi, for stepping in. That's the new UD, the new OG. Goran doing his thing today. Appreciate you, Gogi, for stepping in.
You look better, Gogi.
But on a more serious note, man. I know everybody understand the history with me and Dwight being shaky. We got beef. OG ain't ducking no smoke, man. But I will say, as you get older, and more things become important, and less things become less important, and other things become less important, man. I'm too old to be holding motherfucking grudges. Dwight, well, I take that back. Some grudges I'ma always hold. Some shit I ain't gonna let ride. So I am gonna hold some grudges. But Dwight, man, I will tell you, the thing with you is, about my fifth year in the league, man, we competing against you. Caught me with an elbow in my ear. I end up getting a burst eardrum, a perforated eardrum. I end up having to have surgery. So every time I played against you, I always had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I carried a chip on my shoulder the majority of the time, but the chip was just a little bit heavier when I played against you. I always had a little bit of a short temper when I played against you, man. But that takes away nothing that you accomplished as a basketball player. Top 75, in my opinion, I definitely think you deserve to be on that list. You was a hell of a competitor, man. It was an honor competing against you. It was a pleasure competing against you, brother. I wish you nothing but the best, man. Ain't no smoke, man. It's all love, brother. Let's do what we do out here in life, man. Congratulations on your career and everything you're doing, black man.
Peace. Man, that's love, hey. Man. Oh, man.
That's fun.
We done came a long way. Appreciate that. We done came a long way.
That's the OG right there.
Yeah, I don't know why it's like that, but I guess it's just the competitive nature in all of us because it's like
I've watched all the old school players when they're playing against each other. It's like they hate each other. And then when they're done, they become real close friends. But I was always trying to figure out why me and UD was always fighting. And he would always come to me before the game when he would get in. Listen here.
Yeah, sound just like with the finger.
Mr. T. Listen here, man. Let me tell you something. Don't try to push me in tonight. I'm going to fight you.
And I'm like, man, ain't nobody think about you, UD.
No, listen, I'm going to tell you now. I'm like, man, all right, man. Then we get in the game. I got an elbow him and put him to the ground just because of that. But it wasn't nothing personal. It was just
basketball.
But you know what? I never seen UD like that.
Me neither.
So, you know, no, he's getting soft.
Yes, it's mature. He's getting soft. Yeah.
Don't say that.
I can talk about it if he ain't in the room right now.
Okay, yeah, I'm about to say, because if you say that too much, you're going, no, I'm just playing. Get in the way. I'm back on it now. The OGs, we real.
No, he a legend, though.
You know what, Dwight? I can tell you on the calendar when we play against you guys, UD was probably circling. Oh,
for real?
It's a Dwight night. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was fun competing against him. He was always – he never backed down from any challenge.
Nothing.
He gave me some of my most physical battles in the NBA, and I enjoyed my time playing against him. I always used to wonder why he would always want to go at me, and people were like, man, you and UD about to fight every time. And I'm like, man, I don't want to fight nobody, but that's just how we competed back then. Different age.
I love it. And, you know, if we had Dwight in our team,
we'd been old, we'd love it.
He'd we love would it. Love it. Exactly. You know, right. But we were we play against each other. You know,
that's the only way UD knows how.
Exactly.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more of your player stats and watch all those winners roll in for you. Make sure y'all go out there and get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball postseason. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this basketball season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn 10 into 1,000 with just a few taps. Man, Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Y'all already know out there Prize Picks is the best way to get in on the sports action in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Make sure you go download the app today and use code OGs for first deposit matchup to $100. That's code OGs for first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's just that easy.
If you're a basketball junkie like us here at the OGs, then you know there's no better time of the year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else. Except for on OGs, man. He has Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash. My boy Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with KD. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? Come on, man. Get out of control. Check it out. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's talk about it for a little bit, though. He touched on it. Where are you at in your career right now? I know you told before we got on the show that you're on the fence.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. What are you thinking? Of trying to decide if I want to retire or if I want to give it a couple more years. And just looking at the stature of the NBA, it's kind of like now the young Bulls are mature and they're ready to step up and take over. So I'm like, man, do I go ahead and chuck the deuces or do I try to compete with these young guys? And it's been a battle.
But I seen it though, your post, like if you said with the Lakers, once they kept that team together, y'all would have won. So you
I do
clearly think
that.
You can still impact the game enough to win championships. So
I do. Yeah. I do believe I can help any team win. But when we lost, well, after that championship season, I felt like that was our win.
Which one?
In 2020.
The one where they beat, who'd y'all beat?
We beat the Nuggets, and we beat Miami in the finals. Oh, my
God. I remember that one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's on the road in a hostile environment.
Yeah.
That still hurts.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty bad, but, you know, I felt like with that team that we had right there for a good 3 years, I felt like we could have been competing in the Western Conference Finals each year. The only team I felt like at that present time was Denver. But now you got Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got OKC.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is getting there. You got Dallas.
Yep.
So I'm just like, man, do I call it quits or do I, you know, play another year?
Hey, the hardest thing, and we talked about it, like, and UD will say, like, landing your own plane is
tough.
Yeah, it's hard, but it's also a blessing too, right? Like, you're never going to be able to have the right answer. Do I want to stop or not? Because you're always going to be watching on TNT or ESPN or whatever. Like, man, I can still do that.
Yeah.
I knew it was easy for me. I couldn't still do it. But with that being said, landing your own plane, that's a blessing to have your own career and land your own plane. So congratulations on that, whatever you decide, man. That's big time. Yeah. So
did that when that happened with y'all, because both of y'all have already hit that plateau of retirement, was you afraid of the unknown? Or was it kind of like, I can still play, I want to play, what do I do next type of thing?
I mean, I'll let him answer his. My factors was different, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, desire was still there, but physically I couldn't do it anymore. My knee, you know, it's too much. And I just said it, you know, I kind of, you know, said to myself, you know, it's done. I'm going to focus to my kids and just try to figure out different stuff after career. And so far, so good. So, but it's always tough. You know, every time when I go to the game or I watch the game on TV, you know.
Think about it.
I think about it, yeah. I miss that drive, that excitement, the locker room.
The hardest thing is, and he's saying it, he's touching on it, is like when you get done, there's nothing that you can do in life ever again that's going to replicate or duplicate that feeling.
I agree with
that. That's the hardest part, yeah. Right? So when I said it, it was like my oldest son was about to go into high school, and I knew I was only going to play one or two more years, and I didn't want to, and I wasn't going to live in Denver. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? They've sacrificed for the 17 years I've done this, even though I think I can go another year.
Now it's time.
It's time. And you know, but you have to go into that with peace, knowing like you're never going to ever remake this. There's nothing you can do in life. I don't care how successful you are in any business, because it's what we've done our entire lives, and you're never going to get that feeling walking into a playoff locker room or walking into a playoff. Like, it's never coming no more. And I'm not trying to sit here and say, you got like, ooh, damn, I'm not going to retire. But that's where you got to get your mind right to, right? Because it's, you know, unless someone tells you, it's going to be a harsh reality at some point anyways, because Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's the hardest part for me, because I'm looking like, man, what am I going to do? I've been playing basketball since I was a baby, dang near. So now I'm exiting out that whole part of my life, and I'm doing something different. So that's pretty tough.
But I feel like you still have a lot of stuff to give. You know, you're healthy. It's a lot of young players in the league. You know, they need guidance, definitely. Yeah. So I think so you can help to a lot of teams.
Dragging on the OGs, we talk about that all the time. Yeah. OG podcast for a reason. Like, yes, I think it's the most overlooked thing in the NBA. If you're filling up a 15-man roster, like the reality of the situation, especially with 3 two-ways now, like if you're not putting your vets on that back half of that roster, it's more valuable than any coach you can have. Like, now coaches, they're great. But the players, and you can attest to it because you were there with UD. I was there with UD. The veteran players that have a voice and the respect is way more valuable than anybody else. And I think that's where these young teams, like I was kind of that for Joker in Denver, like my last couple of years. Like I knew I wouldn't get in the game, but it was the preparation, everything else that I did with it. Jamal Murray, the Jokers, like being a part of that and, you know, setting the example in practice every day. So, I mean, I wouldn't shortchange that either. I mean, but – you also got to get your mind right. Like,
yeah,
damn,
that's
I feel
tough.
Like I bust his ass, and I'm sitting over here waiting for Kyle. It's tough.
How do you deal with that?
Well, there's no, I mean, just first and 15th.
Ooh.
It's tough.
Yeah, that
it's
is tough. Very tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because I would be upset if I'm – I just feel like you put in so much energy and effort into getting in shape, to working on your craft every day.
Yeah.
And you're logging zeros in a minute book.
The best players, I wasn't at your level, but the best players, that's the biggest struggle they got when they play as long as they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes what LeBron does is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Because
like how?
Because the ego of a player, I've never been there as far as like being a guy that's averaged 25 or 27 and you do it in your sleep. And now you're averaging 11, 9, 10. Like your ego is like, yo, I used to bust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, that part I can't help you with because I was never that dude. but like that would be something that you'd have to ask yourself, because you know you don't ever want to be that dude out there on the floor too. It's like, because I as an OG, as I started getting older, I used to like get after the young kids, like, oh, he ain't that nice. Whoa, wait a second, bro.
Yeah,
see him 9 years ago, brother, you wouldn't be in this league because this dude would be killing you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like the hardest thing is when you start seeing those guys at the end of their career and you got young guys that are just coming in, and that's what they see.
Yeah.
So it's a tough transition.
I see that with UD.
Yeah,
you know he dedicated himself to the organization, to the young players, and you know he's watching the game. We're losing by 20, and he would come to the locker room pissed, like, I know I can play. I know I can play 10 minutes, 15, and you know it's true. But you just have to, you know, clear with yourself that you are there for the young players to help them. And
that is a tough mindset to have.
It's well, good luck.
Yeah.
I could never do that. I could never do that.
Like, I'm listening to what you guys are saying. I'm like, man, I do not want to sit on the bench.
With that being said, I see you're posting you in jerseys of teams that looks like maybe you think you could help in the playoffs. So it's not like I'm gonna be honest. If you're on the fence, you're leaning more towards playing based on the shit I'm seeing. I'm just which is cool.
Yeah.
So let me just transition this into playoff basketball. Then who's the next jersey we're gonna see you in? Means who's losing next?
Who's losing next?
So this is gonna be,
and we're in Miami.
Oh,
Lord!
Hostile territory.
We're across on the arena too.
I brought UD's muscle, so you're good.
Okay, so Miami, come on!
Wait! It's happening tonight, or at least when?
I think it's happening tonight.
Yeah, man, God,
it's a sunny day here at home.
Oh my goodness!
I think the
guy's giving us a backstory too. Sunny day at home.
It's a great day here in Miami. I think a lot of the players are ready to go to Cancun.
No! They're staying here. They're not going to Cancun.
They got the beach, but I think a lot of the players kind of realize.
Ooh.
So what that mean? You come?
I want to see the Heat make it to Game 7. But Boston has been killing.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel bad for the Heat. They need another center.
Center. Hey, I'm thinking about retiring. Pat Riley, y'all need another center.
Yeah, but so after the game, I'm going to have my jersey on, and I'm going to stand right in front of the arena, and I'm trying to see if they can put me on for next year.
I see what you're doing.
Think that'll work?
I mean, listen, we'll find out.
It probably won't.
Let me ask you, if it would be your choice, for which team would you come back?
Orlando. Yeah.
They need a big.
Just finish at home.
We need a big. Look.
Well, see, I wouldn't say Orlando need a big. I think they need some experience.
And they need one vet. Yeah. They need some veterans, for sure.
They need one vet.
They got some young bulls over there.
They really do.
Paolo, Franz, Wendell.
Yes, I think they have a very deep team. I think they need a little bit of polishing. But I think overall, they got a chance to get better if they keep that core together.
Yeah.
The one guy I like is Jonathan Isaac.
Yes.
Because his defense.
He's disruptive. Yeah. Very disruptive.
Yes, and he can play guys 1-5. He's strong enough to play a 5. Mm-hmm. He's quick enough to guard 3s. But I just think now is just a mentality for them. But if I could go back to a team,
I gotta go finish with the Magic. It's only right.
I see where your head's at. I think you're right with the Orlando stuff, but we also need shooting.
I can shoot.
Everybody, thank you for coming. We had a great time.
I can shoot. What you mean?
No, you can shoot.
We talking about shooting the games?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Hey, I seen him in Taiwan. He was shooting threes.
This the last season.
No, I know you're – listen, are you a shooter?
I'm not Mike Miller. And I'm not Gore. But I'm Dwight.
Oh, well, I couldn't shoot.
You can shoot a little bit.
A little bit, but I was never a shooter.
The coach said anytime you come off the screen to get in a deep drop.
Yeah. I love when he's dropped.
He used to love when you were going to drop, D.
Because he come and then he older.
So who you got in the playoffs then? So let's fast forward. So you saying Miami's out, which is not going to be taken very well here.
I love Miami, by the way, all Heat fans. I love Miami. It's a lot going on. They're missing Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Terry Rozier.
Yeah, Terry. Scary Terry. I thought he was a big part.
Big piece. I agree.
Big piece. But I just think because they're not healthy,
yeah,
it's going to be tough. But Boston –
Porzingis is out. Yep,
he's out. Boston's just a tough matchup. I think it's a tough matchup.
Cross other things. So Orlando, Cleveland. We touched on that. Where do you see this here?
Orlando. Yep. Orlando's winning tonight. They're going back to Cleveland and winning.
Game 7. I like it. Okay. Moving forward in the West, I think one of the most intriguing matchups is that Denver, Minnesota.
I got Minnesota.
I'm not too far off on that.
I'm gonna tell you why.
You're right.
I'm gonna tell you why I got Minnesota. The one thing that the Nuggets lacked in our series when we played them is we had the size. We had 3 guys who could check Jokic just to give him a different look.
Yeah.
And who has that? Oh. Minnesota.
No. Intriguing matchups across the board, though.
Yes.
Michael Porter Jr., Jaden McDaniels.
Yes.
Rudy Gobert, Joker, Cat, Gordon, Mike Conley, Jamal Murray, it's intriguing matchups across the board. And that size, I agree. That's where I see it's going to come down to can Denver make enough shots, because that size is going to be disruptive as shit.
It's going to be tough.
It's been disruptive to everybody. I mean, you saw what they did in round one. I mean, that was so disruptive.
Yes.
I mean, those guys are struggling to score. Yeah. What do you got?
What about? I got Denver, but only because the Minnesota, they're young. They don't have experience, but
one absolute Edwards, monster over there.
Oh my God.
That's what
he's the face of the league.
That's why I'm going with the Timberwolves, because when I look at Minnesota, you start with the dog. Who is the dog? Anthony Edwards. Yeah. And now, because of his energy, he's lifted up the whole team's energy.
Everybody's falling.
You and UD would be fucking great friends.
We would.
You should work this thing out. That video should be the start of it, because that's exactly what he says.
I'm telling you, like, I think we had that same mentality, but since we're two dogs, mm-hmm. we want to always fight. Okay. And we're old dogs, me and old.
So I got a question for you. When I was here last time on a podcast, Mike and UD, they almost bump heads. Defensive player of the year.
Ooh.
You think Rudy is a defensive player of the year?
I will say this. This is the best defense Rudy has played in all of the years he has gotten an award. This year, I've watched the difference with him, because in the past, in the playoffs, remember, they couldn't put him in the fourth quarter. He had to play. They had to go smaller. But this year, when he gets in the game, he's picking up on the guards. He's playing a one-on-one. He's playing great defense. And I contribute that to, I think they've been playing a lot of one-on-one in practice.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why his one-on-one defense has gotten a lot better, is because every day, whether it be 30 minutes to whatever, he's playing ones with all the guards and the bigs. So now he's getting that good feel of what it takes to play defense on the perimeter.
I know it's going to be hard to believe, but UD just cussed me out because I told him that. I said that was the best I've seen him switch in pick and rolls, Rudy Gobert, since I've seen him in the league.
Yeah.
Like he made him shoot hard contested twos all night long.
And I used to be pissed off, because I'm like, Rudy, you are 7'4".
Yeah.
You're the tallest player.
Yeah.
Like, it's no way you should be in the game late in the game. You represent all the centers. Like, you got to step it up.
Sounds personal. Sounds personal.
It was, because when they look at Rudy, he's getting compared to all the centers that came before him. So now, if you're this guy, you got to show everybody why you're this guy. And I think this year, he's shown people his defensive prowess. He's doing a great job.
So he's your defensive player of the year?
To be honest, I got to go with Wimby.
Oh, shit. So you did all that. God, you are going to be a TV. Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, I'm only going with Wimby, because I think as an individual player, his defense this year has been unbelievable. Team defense, numbers-wise, Rudy Gobert. Individual, Wimbyama. It's like, it's crazy. It's a play I seen this year. It was a 3-on-1.
I said the same thing.
I was against Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis drove. Nobody, they had a layup. They didn't want to shoot on him. They threw it to the guy at the three-point line. Wimby took a half a step from the paint.
So you did all that gas. You did all that gas and then chose Wimby.
For Gobert, the reason why, I seen Gobert play one-on-one with Wimby. And Wimby was cooking. So I got to go with Wimby on this.
So your defensive player of the year is Wimby.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I mean, I can't hardly argue it. I think at the end of the day, in that situation, I think the only reason I would probably say Rudy is because what you said in your argument was that they had the best defense in the league, and they had the number one, or basically the number one team in the West.
I know what it is why I didn't pick Rudy for this year. He would have had four in a row.
He would like.
He would have passed all of us.
That shit would have hurt.
No, Rudy, not this year. I know you're watching somewhere. No,
that shit would have hurt your feelings.
Yeah, it would have hurt my feelings. I'm like, man, somebody broke my record. It is Rudy.
So you talked about Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship with the Magic as it sits today?
It's not as good as I would want it to be.
Do you attribute that to? Why?
I think people are still upset over how things ended when I was there. And, you know, I would love to right those wrongs, because, you know, at the time of coming into the league, I'm 18 years old. And, you know, I don't know any better. And so I guess when I got out of there, it just was a lot of turmoil, a lot of hate, a lot of bitterness. And, you know, I would love to change that around.
Yeah, it'll happen, though. I mean, they'll want that. I mean, you're still a massive piece of what they've ever done. So
exactly, huge part of.
Yeah, I definitely want that because, you know, life is too short.
Yeah.
And we done been through so much as individuals, as organizations and stuff like that. And Orlando deserves, you know, just all the great energy that they've been getting by these young players. They finally retired the first jersey in the history of Orlando Magic, which I'm mad.
Is that a Superman or is she was
the fake Superman?
I need to know.
Hey, Gogi's figured this shit out real well.
I need to know that.
Like this.
What's that?
Because I played with Shaq when I was a rookie. You know?
Shaq.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Gordon. Hey, no, listen, every time I come down, give me the ball on the post.
Oh, yeah.
Or else I'm whooping your ass.
We were up-tempo team. Soon as Shaq got there, half court.
Hey. So I will say I have the utmost respect for Shaq. I'm super happy that the Magic have decided to retire his jersey. I think it's about time. He's done so much for the NBA. He's done so much for the Magic and all these different teams. So
Shaq's an absolute legend.
He is.
So he said that he said just recently, and you put the old cap emoji.
Oh, Lord. What's Shaq cap about this time?
No, he said that you never reached out to him for advice.
That's a lie.
Okay, well, you'll share it. I'm not going to call Shaq a liar, but.
I am.
All right.
I still love you,
Shaq. I love Diesel.
I love you,
Diesel. I want to hear what do you mean? So you never.
No, there hasn't been a time where Shaq has just reached out like that. I've reached out to Shaq myself on multiple occasions because I'm like, what's the issue?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand the competitive side, but we don't even compete against each other. And we're, you know, it's like two different stratospheres. Like, he played, he did his thing. Nobody's ever taken that away. And I did my thing. I have reached out to him. And I would like for us to have some type of, you know, relationship. Life is too short. And for us to be who we are, there's no way we shouldn't be able to work together in any
capacity. Sure, I agree with that. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, two alpha males play for the same team, great numbers. I mean, you've been in the finals with Orlando. How was that year? Like, you guys have a good team.
By the way, great question. That team, to me, was way ahead of its time.
Yeah. You were.
Because you had Hedo, you had Jameer, keep going with me here.
Hedo, Jameer, Rashad Lewis,
Courtney Lee. Like y'all had
a squad.
Ratchets around.
We did. We had hella ratchets.
And Hedo.
Coach was Stan?
Stan was way ahead of his stuff at that point, in my opinion.
The only thing Stan did was make us practice forever.
That's that Miami thing, no?
That's a Miami thing.
Oh, buddy.
Okay, well, I'm not coming to Miami. Mark that off.
All of a sudden, Miami doesn't need a big man.
No more big man for Miami. We're going to have to do all that Stan Van Gundy workout. But Stan would have us, he would have us so prepared. And that was one thing that I really loved about Stan Van Gundy is he prepared us for every single player, every single play, in every single moment of the game. And shoot around, we went through every player. And everybody's like, Stan, team's only going to play 8 guys. Why is we running the plays for the 15th guy on the bench? He's not going to even get in the game. He's like, no, listen, guys. We're going to go over everybody on the team because you never know. I'm not losing this motherfucker tonight. And so I'm like, are you sure, Stan? He's like, man, listen, Dwight. If you don't help our team win, I'm kicking your ass. I know I'm small. But, you know.
Oh, Mr. Gundy.
Yeah, I love Stan,
welcome
man.
Welcome to the pod, Mr. Van Gundy.
Stan was great, man. Shout out to Stan Van Gundy. They thought we had like a falling out.
So what did happen? Why did just clear the air here? Because that's obviously you were to the finals. That's mm-hmm. That team's built perfectly.
So when we went to the finals the next year, they kind of broke up all the
– Hedo left, right?
Hedo got traded. They brought Vince in and some other pieces. And I thought that was our year, the year we went to the finals. And I thought next year, if we would have kept the same squad, maybe add some complimentary pieces to the core, but they kind of traded everybody. Yeah. And when that happened, I just felt like, man, like, you couldn't say nothing to me as the franchise player. Let us know. We had already made plans for next season. And once that happened, I just asked the team, could I go a different direction?
What do you think? Is that because, like, some players was older and they tried to get younger? Or
I really just wanted a fresh start. I felt like I had spent, you know, at the time I spent 8-9 years in Orlando. I just wanted to start fresh. And I went to Otis Smith in private, and I was like, hey, Otis, I know this is a tough thing, but I would like to get traded. And could you just do this privately? I don't want, like, what happened to LeBron. Please, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want nobody burning my jersey, anything like that. And then next thing you know, it was all in the news. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I'm like, I didn't want this. I didn't want this for the fans. I didn't want this for the organization. I really just wanted a fresh start. And being 18 coming into the league, I didn't really realize what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And looking back on it now, you know, if I would have just really sat down and thought about what I was doing before I did it, I probably would have stayed in Orlando.
It's crazy how NBA is like about one play, one details. You know, that back screen to Courtney Lee for the lob, yeah. If he would have made that.
I still would have been in Orlando. I still would have been playing today. Courtney Lee, man.
Shout out to Courtney.
Shout out to Courtney, man.
You gave a shout out on a missed layup. It's nuts.
Damn. Like, what? That was it. But no, if you go back and watch the film, Pau Gasol goaltended the play. He blocked the shot through the rim. That should have been a goaltend, and the shot should have went in. We should have won one game.
Hang in there. You'll be all right. You got yourself a championship.
I do, but that
so hurt, how much when you went to Otis and did that, how much say did you have in your next stop?
Well, what they told me at the time was if I signed
trade.
I was signed to ETO, they would trade me to Brooklyn. That's where I originally wanted to go to the Knicks.
I don't think you ended up in Brooklyn.
I never got there. The one time I got close was they traded me to Brooklyn, and then they called me and waved me. Said, by the way, we don't need you. I'm like, I thought I was going to go to Brooklyn.
So anyways, you thought you were going to Brooklyn then, so then.
Yeah, I thought I was going to go to Brooklyn. But they sent me to Orlando. I mean, not to Orlando, but L.A. with the Lakers. And at the time, I had actually told the Magic the one place I didn't want to go to was the Lakers. And it was no offense to the Laker fans or anything like that, but we had just lost in the finals to the Lakers. And I'm like, man, I want to beat Kobe. I want to beat the Lakers, not go join the Lakers. But I did have back surgery that summer. And I happened to be out in L.A., and they traded me to the Lakers. And
how was that experience with Kobe and
with the Lakers? Well, I think it was misunderstood on a lot of different areas. Me coming off back surgery, also during that year, I tore my labrum. And, you know, a lot of people thought that I really didn't give all for the Lakers that year. But it was intense, man. I didn't know what to expect playing with somebody like Kobe Bryant that I grew up watching. Now we're on the same team. I still have flashbacks of him dunking on me. So I got all this in my mind, you know, every day. But just playing with Kobe Bryant, it was just an honor.
So for all the people at home, you play with Kobe and with LeBron. Biggest differences, biggest similarities. Obviously, there's always something that puts them at the top of their profession.
It's their work ethic, for one. They both are extremely hard workers. They both demand. They have this presence. And when Kobe walks into the room, or LeBron walks into the room, that mm-hmm. presence is there and you can feel it. Kobe was more so like a silent killer. He didn't really talk too much. LeBron loves to have fun. He wants to make jokes and But he's when he gets on the court, you know, he can turn that switch. It's crazy to watch. The mental aspect of it, LeBron is doing all the plays. He's like the coach. Mm-hmm. And Kobe's like, give me the ball, and I'm going to handle it.
Yeah.
And I think those are the two differences. I was so young when I played with Kobe that I really didn't realize who I was playing with till after I finished playing, you know, because I was still caught up in my whole whoever I thought I was back then. But I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to play with two of the greatest to ever play the game.
So we fast forward to the Lakers now. What do they got to do here? In your opinion?
First thing they had to do was get Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Now that they didn't do that.
Nah, they didn't do that.
Now that they didn't, what's the next move?
They're out because they didn't do it.
And they out. They just needed two pieces. Bronny and Dwight. Oh.
Okay.
So they're going the Bronny move.
They getting Bronny next year. LeBron said, listen, I'm not signing until y'all get Bronny. Bronny is coming back. He's playing for the Lakers. Bron going to play his 21st season with the Lakers. And they're going to get the first round exit again.
Guy walks us into a grenade, didn't he? So it's over.
It's over with.
Yeah.
The new kids are on the block. I don't see it's going to be hard for a lot of these younger, older teams to win with these new kids on the block. We haven't talked about this team, but OKC.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Shea.
Come on.
I don't know. He is nice. And then they
Jaylen
got
Jaylen Williams.
Jaylen Williams, Chet.
Yeah.
They got a really good team. And I think this year we're going to see OKC and Minnesota in the Western Conference Finals.
I like it, Coach. I can't even argue with you the whole
and
lot.
And then you get to see two shooting guards go at it to see who's going to be the face of the league. I think that'd be better popcorn for people to watch at home than to see. And I love the Nuggets. No offense to Joker. They had their time. But it's Ant-Man.
It doesn't mean their time's done. You just think this year that they have a chance.
I think their time. No. So you think I'm just talking.
Hold on. Come on.
Delusional.
This is what we're here for. This is what we're here for. We're here for you to say something stupid.
Okay. Okay. I think it's the young boys' time. I think Denver has had a good run. I think that Minnesota is on their way up. I think that OKC is on their way up. I think that the reason why is because they got some dogs that's at the front of their team. Ant-Man is a dog, and he don't want nothing but dogs on his team. So he's pushing his team to be the best. Then they got a great coach, Finch. Mm-hmm. What he's done with the bigs there, you can tell that they've been – working on their individual skills. Nobody talks about this guy, but Naz Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's 6'11". He got handles. He can shoot. And he's the option that they come off the bench with.
Yeah.
And another big, another team big going to have to try to stop him. And you still got Rudy. And you got Cat who's shooting threes.
I think it's really important to have a leadership in the locker room, and Mike Conley's there. Mm-hmm. That's huge for them.
That's massive, and it's just to me like Tim Conley's done an amazing job over there again. Like
yes,
yeah. And let me tell you something. His job wasn't easy because he got criticized, especially after last year when they didn't play well.
Yeah.
With the Rudy Gobert stuff, they basically stuck their whole future in Rudy, and they have no picks, and now they're sitting here basically the number one team in the West because they all tied at the top.
I know what happened.
What happened?
What happened?
They didn't
was
get Dwight Howard.
This is what happened. It started out last year with Rudy Gobert trying to fight his teammate.
Oh.
He threw a punch, and I was like, Rudy, you too big to be throwing haymakers and trying to hit people in the chest and then miss. So Rudy said, you know what? I'm going to work on my zen. He went on a darkness retreat. He went and sat in the dark.
This is true.
Yeah, he went and sat in the dark for like 3 days. I did the same thing. Right.
You did this?
Yeah, I did the same retreat.
3 days in the dark.
3 days in the dark. No light, no phones.
Sounds awful, by the way.
it wasn't that bad.
There's times I need to find myself, no question, but 3 days in the dark is
I'm not finding it. It was crazy.
You can eat?
You get food, but you can't see what you're eating.
Oh yeah.
For real.
That's wild.
Yeah, so it's you in a cave by yourself. You get a miniature bed.
Hold up. You're saying cave, like hypothetically.
A real cave.
Stop lying.
I'm for
not
real.
A cave.
A cave that they turn into a room. And you get your own little bed. I don't know why you get a bathtub, but you get a little bathtub. You get a bathroom, no shower. And then you get a little place where they bring the food.
And you pay for this.
You pay for this.
And 3 days.
3 days.
And Rudy did the same thing.
Rudy did the same thing.
And so you're blaming their season on...
I'm saying Rudy got his mind right. He went to the darkness retreat. He making his free throws.
Oh, okay. So you're saying Rudy did it
after the last season.
Yeah, so in between this offseason, last offseason.
Yeah, he came back with a different mentality. He's playing defense now. And he already has three.
We mean you might have to go on a 3-day dark retreat.
Man, I'm afraid of dark, so I'm not going to back.
I thought it would be bad. The only bad part.
How dark, though? Can you see in front of you?
Can't see nothing.
Come on, man. This is nothing.
You can't see nothing at all. Like, period.
You start hearing things?
I was hearing things. I was seeing things.
Explain to me how this was helpful.
Man, what, you take some mushrooms over there too?
Oh,
that would have been bad. That's bad. Okay. It's really like.
I mean, I don't know. He's seeing things. And it's like.
No,
we got to ask the question. It's a fair question.
Hey, what are mushrooms? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Mushrooms.
No, but you go 3-4 days in the dark. Most people have done, the highest you can go is, I think, 5 or 6 days. I think that's too long. You go into this darkness retreat and you just meditate. You just really get alone, get within yourself. And it's really good. I got a chance to rest. That was the first time.
No phone, no text messaging.
No phone, no text. The hardest part was just using the bathroom. But it was crazy. I had more aim in the dark than in the light. Like, maybe I need to do this more often. What is wrong with me?
Next question. Hardest player to guard in your career.
Say it again. Hardest player?
Yeah. Hardest player to ever guard in your career.
Hardest player to guard. The hardest center to guard?
Yeah. It can be anyone. Go center and then player.
Udonis Haslam. Udonis. No, I was just.
Open this back up before you get to
Listen, I pity the fool. He's like Mr. T brother. That's who he is.
You know what's funny? The finger.
Oh yeah, the long.
Yeah, always like a crooked little bit.
He did that to me. He was trying. I was like, you dear, you trying to pick my nose? He was all in my face. Listen here, man. Let me tell you something. Next time you push me on the ground, you hear me, young fella? I'm like, I start calling him Unk. Both of us old.
So hardest player to guard.
Hardest player to guard. There's so many good players. As a center, DeMarcus was
Boogie.
Yao Ming.
Oh yeah.
Yao Ming. 7'5", shooting fadeaways, turnaround jump shot. Yao Ming was the hardest. Because I'm only really...
He was so skilled.
I'm really 6'9", 6'10". My shoulders make me 6'11". But Yao is 7'4", 7'5", 315 pounds. Getting to the middle, hook shot. You can block it. Face up, jump shot. Pick and pop to the elbow. He's making that.
Yeah.
I hate asking these questions because it's not even real life. But prime Dwight versus Wemby right now.
Ooh, that's tough.
He's an alien.
He is an alien. I was an alien when I was in my prime.
You were an alien, no question.
I think Dwight was more I would just physical in this.
But see, I would hit him in the chest, make his shoulders clap.
Then the game is over with after that. All it took is two times, I'm telling you. Boom, boom, boom. And he's going to the ground. And then I got to deal with Pops. So I like Wemby. I'm not going to even front. He's my favorite. Me and my son's probably favorite player right now is Wemby. My son is 10. He's about 5'8". He wears a 13 shoe. So I'm like, Wemby, you're Wemby.
Where's a 13? Is
yeah, he wears 13. I'm like, where am I going to get shoes for you at already? You're 10, wear 13.
I think you'll find him.
But he's like Wemby, so I'm going to go with myself. I'm busting Wemby up in the paint. What are you talking about?
I'm just asking a question, Coach.
But he is an alien, though. I will say that. I pity the fool.
If you're starting,
UD, that's enough. That's the last one, UD. No more. No,
I'll be honest.
Only one more.
Because I'll be honest, because he has a 3-joke max.
Okay. So like, I get one more.
You got two right now.
Okay.
You got two right now. If you're starting, so after talking about Wemby like that, and you talked about Ant in high regard, a lot of great players, right? A lot of young, great mm-hmm. players right now. We talked about a bunch of them. If you're starting a franchise today.
Who am I getting?
Who are you starting with?
Ooh, I only get one choice.
Uh-huh. First pick in the draft.
First pick in the draft.
They only got one with you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Dwight, that's easy.
I'm going with Anthony Edwards.
What you mean?
Really?
Yeah. He's from Atlanta.
Hold on. Mr. Easy.
Ooh, I love Anthony Edwards, but I'm going with Wemby. Because I said to Mike before the show, if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at San Antonio. Mm-hmm.
You know? Are? Because I'm a free agent.
You see? You're
looking at San Antonio. You're looking the opposite way. Hey. San Antonio, Houston. Hey.
Let me tell you the difference. But he's a guard.
Yeah. I'm a big, yeah.
He wants to go on that high pick and roll with Wemby.
Yeah, oh, man.
No, I was just messing with you, but I get what you're saying. If I'm a franchise, if I'm a free agent, I am looking at San Antonio, but I'm just looking at him.
Kind of looking past him?
I'm just looking at him. Like, oh, they go San Antonio.
We cannot go wrong. Like, those two guys are just amazing. So
yeah, it's just crazy to see the development. The reason why I love Wemby, I know I said I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards. Anthony is from Atlanta, so I have to hold it down for my
Wemby Atlanta. From Europe. So, yeah, I got you.
Wemby's from Europe.
Yeah. Who am I going to choose then?
Yeah. Who are you going to choose?
I'm from South Dakota. That's going to be a hard one.
Ooh, Zach Edey.
That's the question, motherfucker.
The reason why I would go with Anthony Edwards is because he's young, he's charismatic, he has that Jordan gene. Yeah. Like the thing that a lot of kids they look at guards, they don't really look at centers and say I want to be like a center. It's always a guard. So it's just like Anthony Edwards might be more appealing, but then you got Wembanyama. He's not even finished growing yet. He's 19, 20?
19.
He might end up being 7'7".
And he got skills.
He got handles.
So what would prime Dwight do?
Against him?
Against Wemby.
Foul the hell out of him every play. I'm getting 3 fouls a game on Wemby. And I'm doing that Udonis Haslam foul. Come here, boy. What did I tell you?
That's 3.
Come here.
That's 3.
Hey, Wemby, next time you pick and roll, step back left, I'm going to knock you out, fool. What did I tell you?
All the laughing in here. That's 3.
That's 3.
Okay, I'm done. That was the last 3. One. Last one, UD. They said I get 3. You not here.
You got a 3 max. You got
okay,
a 3 max.
Okay.
All right, switching gears a little bit. This is a quote. It says something like this, that you when you went to the Rockets, it was because you viewed James Harden as a younger Kobe. I'm just going off a quote.
I did say that.
Okay, well, what we got to say?
It was the mushrooms. I was just kidding. No, I was just kidding. These are just jokes, lies, and fabrications.
James Harden, a bad motherfucker, though.
No, but at the time, I felt that me and James would be a perfect combination. I was aging as a center, going into my prime years. James is coming up as one of the best two guards. I felt like we had that opportunity in that window in Houston, along with the opportunity to work with Akeem Olajuwon. He's one of my favorite centers. I felt like if I would have went to Houston at that time, I would have got a chance to work with Akeem Olajuwon and try to get some of that dream shake in. I practiced the dream shake, and I fell asleep. He told me not to use it no more. So that's why you ain't see Dwight do no dream shakes in the game. I stuck with me.
You fell asleep, Coach?
Yeah, I fell asleep.
So what happened? Because, you know, James is pretty good in pick and roll, so I feel like him and you would...
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Daryl Morey.
Oh, I know.
James said it.
Go on.
Well, I think Daryl didn't really like me and James together for some odd reason, because I was always known as a dynamic roller in the pick and roll with whoever guard it was. Yeah. So when I got to Houston, it wasn't no pick and roll with me and James anymore. And then I started hearing I didn't want to do pick and roll. I want to post up. It was just so many different things I'm hearing. I'm like, hold up.
Trying to hit with the dream shake, huh?
Yeah, y'all brought me here. You told me I was going to work with Akeem Olajuwon. I got to practice the dream shake at least once or twice. I think I did it one game of air ball, and they said, know what?
We're only doing pick and rolls. We're going to leave you out on the perimeter. You just stay over here. But I really thought that our time in Houston was we were going to turn out a little bit better. We did get to the Western Conference Finals, but it didn't happen how we wanted it to.
Talking about another elite player, you played with Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
Motherfucker. Now,
I forgot to mention him as far as the hardest players to guard.
Yep. Is he the most skilled big guy that you ever play against? Or
he is. Because he's 7'2", 7'3", and he got the handles. He can shoot threes. He's 390. Like he's big.
So I'm glad you said that real quick, and I want to hear this what you're about to say, but it led me to this, what Boogie Cousins just said.
He's too heavy.
He said for him to stay healthy moving forward, he's going to have to lose a bunch of weight.
That is true. I think he's too heavy for the wear and tear of NBA season. Mm-hmm. I think if he loses about 20 pounds, it'll be great for his knees. He'll be able to play a couple more years longer. He'll be faster. He probably will be able to jump higher, and he'll probably have more clarity. So I did go through a season where I lost weight. I lost 30 pounds in 30 days. And
the cave must have been.
This was before the cave.
Oh, wow. Well,
this was strictly shrooms. Stop. He brought the shrooms up, so that's the only reason. But after I left Washington, I had actually had my second back surgery, and that year I had got up to like 285, 290 in weight. That's totally too big. So I lost 30 pounds in 30 days. And that next year I came back with the Lakers. And I was a lot leaner, but I was a lot faster. I was jumping like I was 19 again. So I really believe that if he loses that weight, it's going to make him into a – not like he's already an elite player, but
it's so hard to nitpick because before he got less
injuries, definitely less injuries.
I think it'll be less injuries, and I think he'll be more mobile. I think it'll be smart.
So we talk about him because obviously he's the past MVP. Mm-hmm. Who's your MVP this year? Luka, Shai, Joker?
Shai.
What?
The reason I say Shai is they got the number one record. He's been consistent all year.
The most 30 points, no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's
in franchise history.
Oh, franchise?
No, not in NBA history, franchise.
In franchise history.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think. I can't imagine it's NBA history.
But he's led an OKC team and nobody has ever really talked about since they had the big three and then Melo and all those guys. He's come there and he's put OKC on the map. My favorite commercial out right now is him and Chet. What a good one. What a pro these. I like that commercial. That's pretty good.
You like that one?
Yeah, man. I like it. You know, and just the fact that what he's done with that organization, all those guys believe in themselves. They fight for each other, and they're happy for each other. You look at after the game, it's six or seven guys standing around the person that they're talking to. And just the camaraderie, I feel like he's brought all that to this team. And he's leading the team to being a first-place team in the toughest Western Conference this year. So shout out to Shea. He's my MVP.
It's amazing. Yeah. Obviously, Shea's amazing, but it's amazing what Sam Presti's done over there.
It's crazy.
To see a vision and see it go through, it's going to be even more intriguing because being on this side of it now for me is how are they going to monetize, how are they going to pay these guys, and who are they going to prioritize, because it's all coming now, right?
Yeah.
You know it's coming. So all these nice pieces that they have, the Lou Dortz, you got Chet to pay, you got Jalen Williams to pay, you're already paying Shea. Like, it's going to be interesting. And will OKC, being a small market team, will they go, into the luxury? Will they participate like this? Because what he's done is absolutely amazing. Yeah. People are like, it was a joke. It was a running joke for like 3 years. Like, OKC's just acquiring picks, just acquiring picks. Just acquiring picks.
Yeah.
And now you look at their roster, they're the number one team in the West. They got all these picks still moving forward.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's the intriguing part now is because I know Sam's a mastermind, is going to see him now how he's going to pay the people and
so
pay those pieces.
That's the same situation with OKC when James Harden, 100%. Westbrook, and KD was there. Yeah.
It's the biggest issue that you always have when you draft well, though.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You draft well, you have that issue, but which is a good issue to have.
You know what they have coming up this year that might help them? I heard that they might sign a deal, the NBA. What is it?
Amazon.
NBC or ABC as well for TV rights.
Well, Amazon's about to buy.
Yes, that too.
Yeah.
Man, I might have to, since you're an agent, you'll give
me that. Yeah, yeah,
I might have to get one more season.
Don't retire. Don't retire.
Yeah, I drive an Amazon truck. Yeah, Amazon driver for the game.
Hey, listen, we talked about all the talented players you played with. On the OGs, we do the prize picks. They just hand out free money. You should go try it, play it one time, prize picks. Yeah, they just give you free money. You bet.
We can bet now.
You can bet. Yeah. You done.
I don't want to end up like an old boy.
Oh no, you can't. But you can't.
No.
Playing. More or less. You know what I mean?
I thought that was.
That's
the
still.
Real
it's
definition.
It's the same thing. They just took the words bets out, but Prize Picks does an elite job at it.
Oh.
Today our segment is your top five players you played with, presented by Prize Picks.
Okay.
Give
top
it to me.
Five.
Or give me your starting lineup.
Ooh.
That way you have to decide if we're going to pick yourself or not.
That's tough.
Think, because
no, it's
that's
we
not
put we
fair.
No, yes, it is. Yes, yes. Life sometimes is not fair.
Life, yeah, you're right.
Do
listen,
I?
You sat whoa. Day
Can we turn off the lights?
Yeah, exactly,
so it's dark.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Let me tell y'all something. I'm gonna pick my five, but once I pick my five, y'all better make sure.
Hurry up and get back, because if I had to, I might get whooped over here.
When look at the video, I'm gonna pick my five, but just look at the video of me and UD, our last. UD accidentally picked my nose. He had a
UD, I got it for you. I might lose this one.
He had a piece stuck on his finger from accidentally going to my nose.
You know why he did that?
Why?
Because you're hitting our players all the time. UD, I need to do something
about it.
Yeah. You know, those pick and rolls.
That's what they asked me to do.
I know,
They asked me to do. So let me pick my five. Ooh, that's tough.
Jameer Nelson.
Kobe Bryant. LeBron James. Hedo Turkoglu.
Hedo.
And Rashard Lewis.
Rashard Lewis.
So you're not in there, huh?
I'm the sixth man.
bring good energy.
Yeah, I'm an energy guy on the bench now. I'm a role player. I'm not looking at San Antonio, though. I just messing with you.
Hey, I like this. I like this. That was a good five.
You like my five?
Not the five.
We ain't beating nobody.
Not the five that. Not the five.
Are we beating anybody?
Not the five I thought you were going to go with.
We ain't beating nobody, but we'll have a good conversation.
I'll be honest with you. I feel like you kind of skirted the question a little bit.
Yeah, I mean.
Who you think he would say?
Well, I mean, he played with some dudes now.
Yeah.
I did, but you didn't say for basketball. Is it for basketball or for like just
hanging out?
My favorite teammates.
Oh. No, we're hooping now.
Oh.
No, again, Rashard Lewis.
He can't
awesome.
Play the five. That's, see, you.
Hedo, awesome. Yeah. Jameer Nelson, awesome.
No defense, though.
I didn't see that. I didn't see the name you're. I didn't mean.
Okay, let me go back.
Here,
LeBron, Kobe, AD, myself, and Rondo.
Ooh, see, now that's probably winning some games, coach.
Ooh,
I think you'll be favored.
Me and AD.
I like that.
Holding down the paint.
Like at Prize Picks, I'd probably take the more on your wins for the season.
Yeah, we'll win a lot of games.
First one, maybe be less.
We'll win a lot of games. We got 5 shooters out there at all times.
his sales job is crazy.
We got 5 shooters.
His sales job going back to Orlando's.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we got 5. Yeah, I'm telling you, Orlando. I'm a shooter now. Look at Taiwan.
All right, this leads me to fan questions. Fan questions. If you could put your prime self on a current NBA roster to give them a better chance at a title, what team would it be? Wow, fitting question, by the way.
The Lakers and the Magic. And
the Suns.
Well, actually, the Suns need a center, but they had Bol Bol. They didn't want to use Bol.
So what's your final answer?
My final answer, if a team could use me now and I could play at my prime, I would have to go with I gotta go with the Heat.
I mean this guy.
I'm all over the place. Yeah, I'm leaving y'all like, I don't know what he gonna say up here.
Guys throwing curveballs left and right.
Yeah. That's the point. Everybody like, man, we gotta have Dwight on the show. He just gonna throw out some crazy stuff.
That's exactly right. We're here for it. Oh, did you ever think about joining the Heat?
I did, but when they told me that I had to do
conditioning test?
Conditioning?
They changed now, I feel like.
I don't know. I'm not there. I did the conditioning test.
Was it a lot?
Yeah.
I like running, but I'm too
old. You find out a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
I'm saying that at that point, at any time, though, you might have been younger when you thought
that. Yeah, I did. It was 1 year where I thought that I was going to have an opportunity to come play for the Heat, and I think that the reason why they chose to go a separate way was because me and Mr. T. Oh,
next question.
Peter the Fool.
And I'll be honest with you, I almost don't even want to ask this question because it's not fair without my dog being here with me.
Uh-oh.
I already know.
But I have to ask the question because I'm a man of the people.
Go ahead.
Here at the OGs, we're the man of the people, and this question is asked. UD, I apologize because you're not here to defend yourself. If you and UD put on boxing gloves, who wins?
Oh, me. I'm smoking. Oh, I'm smoking UD quick.
I knew I should have asked that.
Checking UD quick.
When is the next episode? I need to see that.
We're going to have a Dwight Howard part 2, by the way.
As soon as he put that finger out, I'm going to pop him. Hey, man. Bow. So it. But nah, me and UD in the boxing ring. Hey, I got a couple years of experience in boxing.
Oh, you're a big boxer?
Yeah, so I'm going to take myself on that one, yeah. I don't know if UD got a chin.
He does.
Can we make that fight?
I mean, listen.
We're
about to watch Mike Tyson fight again. We can make anything happen.
Speaking of Mike Tyson, I'm afraid for that fight.
For who?
Mike Tyson.
You're afraid for Mike?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mike is 70 years old. He has a brittle chin. Jake Paul's knocking out everybody.
Yeah.
If he hit Mike Tyson one time, he might knock him out.
No, Jake, obviously, he's been a lot better at boxing than I thought he was going to be. If he beats Mike Tyson, I can't watch boxing no more.
Why not?
Because I mean, that's like watching your guys. I'm my favorite guy in the world growing up.
Yeah. But he's 70. Well, he's not 70, but he's almost 70 years old.
It's crazy.
And he's fighting somebody that's...
How old is Jake? Like 25, 26? Yeah, he's going to be young.
He still got the power, though. But, yeah, like...
Oh, no. He might have power, but he going to get fatigued real fast. Yeah. I watched all his videos. He's like... Now, you know doing that in a fight, you ain't going to be able to do that for long.
I ain't going to lie to you.
Sound like Waterboy.
Came up to me like that, I'm running.
Who, Mike Tyson?
Yes.
I'm not running as Mike Tyson 75.
I'm running. I'm running 105.
At him?
125, I'm running.
No, yeah, at 75, Mike Tyson, I'm taking my chances with a
older,
jab.
By the way. He keeps getting older, by the way.
He is. He is. So
if I'm going against Mike, I got Jake Paul. Okay. I got Jake Paul beating 80-year-old Mike Tyson.
He's 80. It's crazy. We can't stay on the show very much longer. He'll be dead.
He will. No comment. If Jake Paul hit him right, I'm telling you.
God.
Jake Paul knocking everybody out. He knocked Nate out first, and I was so hurt for Nate. He had Nate on the floor sleep for about 30 minutes.
Shout out to Nate. We had Nate on our podcast.
Yeah, shout out to Nate. I love Nate.
Nate quietly, I think, is going for Jake because he said if he beats Mike Tyson, everyone will shut good. The hell up.
Yeah.
He said, can y'all stop talking about me if that happens?
But he kind of made – I really felt bad for Nate when it happened. You watched the fight?
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
I felt bad for him. I really thought he had a chance. And then when Jake hit him, it was just like, dang.
I started thinking,
is this – like, did he do this for all NBA players? Or, like, do we need to go?
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If – for the NBA players, who would you choose to fight Jake Paul?
NBA players, not recent player, our current NBA players?
Yeah, or in general.
In the last three, 4 years.
Okay, so current NBA players, somebody to box Jake Paul.
JJ?
But everybody's going to go with JJ.
No, I'm asking.
I believe. I think JJ will give him, he will beat him for sure. So he's in another stratosphere. That's not even fair.
Okay. JJ's off. He's too good.
He's too good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
Dame.
Dame
has hands like that, huh?
He has hands, but he hasn't sparred. We haven't seen him spar.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Draymond since he's knocking people out all the time in practice. I'm going to go with Draymond. What you think, Draymond?
Coach, I'll be honest. You got some footage. At least you got footage.
Yeah. I felt bad for Jordan Poole when he hit him. He knocked him to another team.
The other guys are
in Washington. He punched him all the way to D.C. I said, boy. And then Jordan got to D.C. and forgot how to play basketball. I'm like,
I can't thank you enough, Dwight, for coming in here and sharing these stories. He forgot how to play basketball, though, Coach?
He didn't forget how to play. He forgot how to play team basketball in the right brand of basketball. He went to Washington and just started doing everything.
You say he knocked him onto another team?
He knocked him to another part of the country.
I mean, it's a good take for you by saying Draymond because you have footage.
Got footage. And Jordan, you got to be a little bit quicker on your feet. When he saw him coming over there, he should at least put his hands up or something. Move your head. He just stood there and just... Hey, Draymond.
I thought you were going to say UD.
UD? No, man. UD ain't fighting nobody.
Oh, my. And that's a wrap. UD.
Let me stop. UD,
get your ass back here.
These are all jokes, man. I love UD's lies and fabrications to get people to join the show and smile, man. I love you, man. I pity the fool.
I can't laugh at that no more. But real, for real, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
It was awesome having you. I don't know. I had a great time. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think so.
How good's the next episode going to be when UD is
back? I'm watching the next one. When UD is back, you know.
I'll come back with UD on the show.
Oh, part two.
Part two. Part three of my whooping. My whooping spree coming for
no
you,
more
UD.
The OG's out, man. Appreciate you coming in. Tune in Tuesdays. Appreciate you all coming in, too. Thank you.
Thank you.